Please stand with me if you are able to. We're just going to open by reading 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. It says, "Now concerning the things of which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman." Please pray with me. Father in heaven, thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your holy word. Thank you for the advice that you give us, this eternal advice, biblical, scriptural advice. You're the one that created us. You created, you're the author of marriage. You created it. And so we need to look to you. Forgive us, Lord, for in this world we, many of us, if they're like me, we've all grown up from school and these perversions of truth, which the devil tries to infect us with and tries to get us to learn a different picture of marriage. However, we know that even as you use the Apostle Paul teaching in another book, marriage is about Jesus Christ and the church. Help us, Lord, to receive your marriage advice here, Lord. Help us to see your word of truth. Help us to understand it. Help us to apply this and help us to preach this to the world and exemplify it to one another. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You guys could have a seat if you would. So when God created the first marriage, as you and I know, he created two, Adam and Eve. It was one man and one woman. They were, quote, male and female. If the very first chapter of the book is read, this is what it says. Here's what the very first chapter of the entire Bible teaches us. In Genesis 1, you see it on the display, it says, verse 26, "And God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Verse 28, "Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Genesis chapter 1, 26 through 28, the word of God. So notice in this very first marriage that God created, that God authored, it was God that brought Adam and Eve together. Verse 28 also says God blessed them. So, right away, if you want God to bless your marriage, just make sure it's God that brings you both together. If you're already married, stay married. Allow God to bless your marriage. And you have to allow God. Amen? No, I got this one, God. I know how to fix him. I know how to fix her. No. Allow God to bless your marriage. And notice that it was only after God brought them together in marriage that God blessed them to be what? He says, be fruitful and multiply. Satan wants to take that and pervert it and turn it upside down and make it backwards. And do what? Date and mate around and then figure it out. And then marry whoever you want. That's Satan's plan. He tries to destroy you and I. God brings together two for what? To be married, and then God blesses them to, quote, be fruitful and multiply. Not the other way around. Don't try to be fruitful and multiply, and then later on when you figure out, yeah, I want this one. I'm going to try before I buy. Don't do that. That always leads to death and destruction. Anybody know that? It always leads to it. I, unfortunately, have gone that route, and I had to repent before God. So in other words, sexual intimacy was intended by God to only be between one man and one woman whom God brought together first in marriage. So first God brings them together, then blesses them and says, be fruitful and multiply. Sexual intimacy was for the express purpose that God wanted to have godly offspring. Here's what he says in Malachi chapter 2. This is the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 2 verse 15, it says, "But he did, or did he not make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit, and why one? He seeks godly offspring. God wants godly offspring. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously with the wife of his youth. That's Malachi chapter 2, verse 18. So back to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Now we come to the second half of this book that you and I call 1 Corinthians. Again, chapters 1 through 6, Paul is addressing issues that he had within that church. And now from chapters 7 through 16, these are questions that Paul is answering that the Corinthian church had. There's roughly six questions. And as you and I go through this chapter, let's keep in mind also the cultural context and the background of Corinth. You and I know, and we might recall, as I've been sharing throughout these weeks, the Corinthian culture was known for sexual immorality. So if you're reading this book and you're like, why is he like drill this in so much chapter after chapter? Yes, because they had this within their culture. And some of us might say here in America, this is also the American culture, right? Any of us know that? This is how it is. We're brought up in this culture. We have to come to the word of truth where God gives us the clarity through the scriptures, and we need to confess these things to God and repent from them, right? If you're like me, we need to do that. So this Corinthian culture, they were known for sexual immorality. They were, get this, they were also known as mixing and merging the temple worship with prostitution. So they thought it was okay, it was holy to do this. Holy? Are you kidding me? Even we might say, that's weird. Did anybody think that's weird? But for them that grew up in that culture, it was considered okay. Corinth was also known as having 1,000 temple prostitutes for their goddess Aphrodite. So to them, the Corinthians and those that knew that land, hey, that's okay. They would mix and merge worship of their god with prostitution. It wasn't just sexual morality, it was considered holy. And so Paul's addressing this and answering one of the questions that they had. So in asking Paul some questions, the question the Corinthians had was probably something like this. Should Christian men and women get married? And today that might seem, oh, that's a basic average question. Shouldn't they know? That should be automatic. But again, if you understand their culture and growing up in that culture, maybe some of the men would go to the prostitutes or they would come to them and vice versa. There were also male prostitutes too in that city. So they had to understand, what is it that God now wants me to do? So here's his answer. He's opening up in this chapter. Let's read this now in verse 2. Chapter 7, verse 2. Nevertheless, because of, he says, sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Okay, quick note. Notice, again, that in marriage, that the man is described as a husband, and the woman is described as a wife. Now, 10 years ago, you might sit here and think, no, duh, I could see that. That's automatic. That makes sense. But in today's culture, Christians, understand, America is like a Corinthian culture now, right? We have to describe pronouns. And they take God's, really it's Satan using the people who don't know and don't read and don't apply the Bible and aren't preaching the word, where he's taken these pictures now of God's marriage, which is supposed to be a picture of Christ and the church, and it's perverted. Satan knows that. He knows he cannot be part of the eternal picture of Christ and the church. He knows he has only a short amount of time, we learn, as John tells us in the book of Revelation. He's come down to us knowing he has a short amount of time, and he's trying to mess with that picture. Some would say, perhaps he's jealous. He cannot be the picture of the eternal bride, that's you and I in the church. He cannot be part of that picture. He cannot be joined eternally with Jesus to be this picture of marriage. So the picture of marriage is God's picture. So God tells us, as he wants to school us here now, marriage is between one man who's a husband and one woman who's a wife. Is not there born? And doctors and nurses obviously go, okay, it's got a thingy. That's obviously a boy. It's a boy. Even in our hospitals, we know that. Why? Even with our boy. He's over here working too. Sorry, Joshua. You ladies know that have boys in the hospital just days after they're born. What do the hospitals do in America? They circumcise the boys who will one day be men. You don't circumcise girls. All right, get off of that. So the reason why men and women should get married is, notice it says here, quote, because of sexual immorality. I thought it's because I'm just bored out of my skull. No, it's because of sexual immorality. It's to avoid, and here's the Greek word, porneia, also the word where we get pornography, is to avoid. So porneia is sexual immorality. Whether it's the viewing of pornography or any sexual activity outside of the intimacy between one man and one woman who are married together. Outside of that, it's called porneia. Are you kidding me? Similar to pornography? Yes. That's the Greek word that's used. So to avoid porneia, to avoid sexual immorality, get married. Get married. So simple marriage advice that we can say at this point. God's marriage advice is not because you're so bored, you're so lonely, you just got to do something with your time. Why don't you go and get married? No. It's to avoid sexual immorality. Therefore, get married. Simple. I love how the Bible is simple. Any of you guys know and love the Bible for simplicity? Just a practicality. God says, here's what you do. You can't avoid it. So what you do, yeah, I mean, don't give in to that temptation, but what you do, get married. Get married. So God's simple marriage advice, get married. Not because you're bored, not because you're lonely, because you can get married, and then what? Well, now I got more bored and lonely issues. You need to develop that relationship with God. That's what happens. It's like, oh, what happened? Oh, we're so in love. And then what happened after what? Oh, we fell out of love. We have irreconcilable differences. No, that's called sin. Okay? You need to get married, stay married. Why? Because of porneia, sexual morality. So rather, the Bible teaches us that singles need to be occupied with basically serving God. Use your time. Don't allow Satan to abuse your time. Use your time that you would serve God. Develop your relationship with God. You need to know how to hear from God. I could tell you this to this church. I know we're live streaming, we're recording this. Throughout the many years that I've been serving God here, and praise God, we'll be, through the grace of God only, this August we'll get to celebrate our 20th year anniversary of this church. Praise the Lord, only by His grace. But I was talking with Christians throughout the years, and I can say now decades, whether serving God here on the East Coast or even in California on the West Coast, one of the things that you and I as Christians need help with is to discover the will of God. And the will of God is synonymous with the Word of God. You need to know God's Word. You need to know how He speaks. Read His Word. He's already spoken. Therefore, when you believe He has spoken to you, you can weigh it and authenticate only through, test it only through the Word of God. So if you think something is God's will, prove it with just the Bible. Back it up with the Bible. Amen? That's the only way. Or else don't tell someone it's God's will when you can't back it up with God's Word. Okay? Because then later on it's like, oh, what happened to your marriage? Oh, we fell out of love. I thought it was God's will. Yeah, but no. God says it. It'll be in His Word. Trust God's Word. Don't trust your heart. Amen? Don't trust your emotions. You go to sleep one night, Lord, I lift Your name on high. You wake up in the morning, man, I don't feel like getting out of it. I'm going to just lie, call in sick to my work. I don't want to spend time with You, God. That's how your flesh is. The flesh is fickle, and it wants attention. You need to obey the Word of God. So singles, as we read this and as God gives us His marriage advice, spend time serving God. Spend time getting to know how God speaks. Learn to hear His voice and ask one another. Help each other with that. We need help. Amen? And here's another thing. Practical stuff. Be like Adam. For the singles, be like Adam. What do you mean? Adam was asleep. When God formed and shaped the one whom He took from His side, we don't know if it's a rib, Adam was asleep. He didn't go out bar hopping. I had to repent from this, because I used to DJ in nightclubs. And I looked at this, these kind of things, and I'm like,
And I think a lot of us are looking in the wrong places. Remember that old song? Looking for love in all the wrong... Right? Looking for love. Yes. Don't look for love in all the wrong places. The Heavenly Father still arranges marriages. But do you have faith? Do you have faith, Christian? Me and my wife, Susan, we're proof of that. Proof of that. Some of you guys knew us, right, from before. You saw God do it. It was not me. It was literally God Almighty, El Shaddai, God Almighty. Can he bring two people together? Yes, he did that with Adam and Eve. Yes, he did that even with Isaac, a type of the son, in the book of Genesis, bringing the bride to him. Yes, Jesus did that with me and my wife too. And yes, Jesus is still doing that with his bride, the church. The Spirit goes out looking for someone that wants to be the bride. Do you, and there's the question, not just, do you want to repent from your sins? Spiritually, the eternal question is somewhat like this. The Spirit of God says to people's hearts, do you want to be married, eternally joined with Jesus Christ? Because someone could receive Christ, oh, that's great, it's going to bless my marriage. And a couple hours, maybe they die and go off into eternity. And now, you and I might sit there and go, that's not fair, I'm still here. but then they go off to be in the Lord's eternal presence, and they're going to be joined together. So marriage is to be a picture, according to Ephesians 5, of who and what? Christ and the church. That's God's wedding picture. Amen? Don't allow the devil or the woke society or your schools where you might be or where you work. Oh, what are your pronouns? Well, God says it's him and her, a man and a woman. Don't allow the woke world to change, because they can't change the word of God. They're going to die, and God's word stands forever. Amen? Isaiah 40, verse 8. So, singles, start serving God. Develop your relationship with God. Celebrate your singleness that way, for the singles out there. You need to learn how to hear from God. Learn God's word so that you can detect the will of God. I hear that over and over, even with the servants. We have a servant team. There's over 20 of us. And every 6 months, we have them fill out a form so they can give us feedback, but also self-evaluation. And we ask them, do you know how to detect God's will? And I look for the answers. And I see as I track every 6 months or so, and as years go on for those that have been serving, are they able to learn how to hear God's word, or they just make emotional decisions? And that's what we all have to repent from. Amen? Okay, including me. I had to. So Adam was asleep when God noticed Adam's need for companionship. It's not, I'm so bored out of my skull, I'm so lonely, let me go do what I need to do, and let me go date around. And you see why, one of the reasons why dating, I remember learning this from another pastor. And this needs to be said here. Dating is not biblical. Amen? Dating is not biblical. Dating is a mini marriage. Do you know that? Dating is a mini marriage. It's a mini commitment, isn't it? It is when you look at that. And God don't play. God doesn't want that. Satan wants that. Because he wants you involved in porneia, sexual immorality. And how many of us know dating opens the door in a huge way to temptation for sexual immorality? It does. It does. So Adam wasn't chasing around, he wasn't sleeping around, and he wasn't dating around, and he certainly wasn't mating around. What did he do? He was asleep. So many of us Bible teachers, we might say, go to sleep. Go to sleep. Go to sleep to that part of your life. Go to sleep. Allow God to do the work. By the way, a simple book I could recommend, we've mentioned this before, it's really simple, 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 simple. Master Mission Mate by Pastor Ken Graves. He's a Calvary Chapel pastor up in Bangor, Maine. Master Mission Mate. He's an exhortist. He just like spits it straight. So it's a short book. So he mentions God's order of things, which is biblical, and you find it even with Adam in Genesis. Learn to make God your master first. Start serving God. He's your master. You get married, and oh, how many of us know when you got issues, you're going to go to who? Don't go just to your mate. Go to God, your master. But you need to learn how to develop that. So one of the reasons why a lot of our marriages end up in destruction is because we seek God for solutions after getting married. Learn to make Him your master first. Serve Him. Find out your mission, your life's calling. You're created in Christ Jesus for good works. So master, then mission, then when it's God's timing, He will bring you your mate. I love that. He just spits it straight. It's really simple. Again, Master, Mission, Mate by Pastor Ken Graves. I checked, it's still available on Amazon. I think he even gives out a PDF download for free. So God's advice is never date until you find a mate or go mate around. Satan wants you to mate around. Malachi 2, God wants godly offspring. Amen? So learn to develop your relationship with God first. So Satan's marriage advice is go date until you find a mate. Play house. Make a mini marriage. I had to repent from that. Is that any of you? You guys have to repent from that. Okay? One person. Okay? We're all having that. You just need to fess up. That's the reality. That was Satan's marriage advice. I had to confess and repent from that. And then he was using me. Satan was using me from a different pulpit, from the pulpits of clubs, nightclubs and all. I had to share with a lot of my friends who were like quasi-Christians even. It's like, no, God's got something different for me. And I had to separate myself from them. I can't believe who I used to be. I remember I got a memory. God, I want Him to scrub that. He won't do that because He created the human brain with the advanced intelligence of being able to have long-term memory. So God, get rid of those memories. Are you meaning you want me to destroy your brain? Oh, no, don't do that. Okay. So the devil wants you and I to fall to porneia, to sexual immorality. Don't give in. But God wants you to remain pure. To remain pure. Each Christian has been born again as engaged right now to be eternally married to Jesus Christ. Keep yourself pure. Amen? For the married, you still keep yourself pure. It's okay once you're married. But if you're single, keep yourself pure. All right, so back to this. Now, notice God's order for most of our lives is this. Back to chapter 7. Verse 2, for most of us, not all of us, but most of us, it says, quote, let each man have his own wife and let each woman have her own husband. In other words, discover that one person that God created for you to be with and then get married. Anybody hear of Jackie Velasquez? Okay. She's like a Hispanic. I don't think she sings. She has some Spanish albums, I think. Christian singer. She got involved a little bit in acting too. She had this old song on her first album. And I'm talking like 30 years ago, something like that. Called I Promise. And it's a girl singing. And she's singing about, I didn't know I was going to speak about this, but I think I should share this. Because it's part of my testimony. And I'm a guy. Separated unto the Lord, I wanted to devote and dedicate my life to Him. I had to have a period of separation between the world, which He extracted me out of. I'm talking, this is like the 1980s. And she sings in that song about her waiting for the one that God created just for her. And, you know, sometimes the songs, the words can pretty much say your prayers of what you can't even formulate in your own heart and mind. And it just was saying exactly what I wanted to do. I want to keep myself pure for marriage. And again, I'm talking about the 1980s. I was in my 20s. And my buddies, my friends, like, oh, dude, come on, you keep playing that stupid song over and over. I had this old boombox with, you know, the CD player on top. You guys remember those things? Who remembers CDs, by the way? Some of you guys, kids don't know. Still have them. I remember playing that CD. I think it was a CD, either CD or cassette, but playing it. It must have been CD because I played it on my boombox over and over and over because I just wanted to focus on God and serving Him, and I would listen to it over and over and over and over and over. I'm talking like over and over. My friends would come over and like, dude, that's this girly song. I'm like, get away from me. You know, I felt like in the Bible, the Lord rebuke you. Get away from me. It meant something to me. And that's just my testimony. Each of us has our own testimony. How God was separating me from the world. Now, I was one that would promote. I wouldn't just go to parties. I would promote parties. I was a DJ in a nightclub. And I got good at it, at what you're doing. You develop a following. And I had to really wholeheartedly repent from a lot of that. And even music. Music still. He helped me develop an ear to hear certain things in music. And now he uses it for his glory. Praise God for that. But certain things I would hear in music and I would catch on to. So I'm an audible learner, I learn. And so even with songs, so that I wouldn't get involved in just the junk, the filth that was still going on in my head and heart, and I could stay true to God and what he's wanted me to do. I would play certain songs over and over. There's a handful of songs that God used strategically in my life at that time. And I remember when he was wanting me to keep myself pure until marriage, that the Heavenly Father still arranges marriage. And I was going to a Bible college. Eventually got there. This is before that time. And I was believing that God was calling me. I didn't know what it was. And I believed that he was preparing me. The simple principles in God's word, I knew that I had to repent hard from a lot of those things, the filth of the world. And that was one of the songs that God used. There's many, but that was one that he was using in my life. Again, it was called I Promise by Jackie Velasquez. If you listen to it now, you're like, really? This is the one that Pastor Drew is listening to? But just said in a simplistic way that God, I'm going to keep myself pure. My wife's over there listening. It's just such a really sweet and innocent song. So you and I, if you're single, what you need to do is discover that person that God created just for you. Okay. And the problem with dating around, and if God had created Eve for Adam, let me just address the singles. We'll get to you in a little bit, probably next study. Think about this too. God created, for the gals, God created one man for you. For the guys that are single, God created one woman just for you. The problem with dating around then is you're with someone else's girl. You're with someone else's guy. And you're going to have to repent one day. And I had a lot of repentance. Sorry, Susan. My wife never dated. I was her first date. And I had to come to her like, wow, you would have not liked who I used to be. Because I used to promote that filth in the world. And I had to confess and repent from even things like abortion, those things that come out of pornea, sexual immorality. And that was tough to do. I had to confess that to God. And then God was really impressed upon my heart. Now confess that to your wife and tell your kids. I'm like, I don't want to say that. I had to. I had to come clean before God. So a lot of my life is just public. But that's one of the problems in dating. It's a mini marriage. Forget Satan. You've repented from Satan. Don't go back to Egypt, so to speak. Don't go back to the world and its ways. If you're saved now, you belong to Jesus Christ. You've been bought at a price, the price of his blood. The Father sent him to die for you. You need to confess and repent and allow Jesus to refresh you, to renew you. Even if you were as filthy as I was in the world, yes, if you could do that with me. I think one of the reasons why he wants to use me in a way that he does, I don't qualify, I think. One of the reasons why is because he wants me to be an example. He wants the same thing for you. Allow him to use your life. So the Christian, if you're a single, wherever you're at, if you're single, get to discover the person that God created just for you to be with, then get married. Then get married. So God created, for the gals that are single, God created one man for you to be with. And for the single guys, he created one girl. You don't have to date around till you find the mate. Allow the Father to connect you to. Can he do it? I even had to think of that. God, if you move me out here to do a church plant, this is what you want. I'm going to be all the way on the west or the east coast. I don't know anybody out here. I didn't know any of you guys. But I had to put my faith and trust in the Lord. Why? Because he's Lord. And if he can create the planet and the whole galaxy and everything, the cosmos, can he orchestrate bringing two of his kids together?
Yeah.
You want proof of that? My wife and, you know, Susan and myself. And he's done that with others. Allow him. If you're already married, stay married. Cry out to God together. Amen? Cry out to God with one another. Allow him to bless and to better your marriage. So the singles, in order for you to seek God then, this mandates that you as a Christian, you must get to know God's word. You got to know how he speaks so that when he speaks to you, your flesh, your emotions aren't going to be confused. Because the devil's going to send you the wrong guys, girl. And how many of you girls know that? That's going to happen. And for the guys, the devil's going to send you a lot of the wrong girls. You're going to get messed up with your eyes. Like Samson. Oh, she looked good to me.
Dad, go get her.
That's Samson in the book of Judges.
She looked good to me.
He's like, no, why don't you just... He's a picture of the flesh. That's how a lot of us guys fall. Read about Samson.
She looked good to me, Dad.
No, wrong one, dude. And by the way, when you study the life of Samson, he didn't have much of a prayer life, did he? No, he prayed to God at the end of his life. Also, be able to walk in God's will. Oh, singles and married people. Learn to discern God's will. Walk in His will, because once you're married, one of the things that's going to keep you together is, and this is what God did. Some of you guys saw us, what God brought us together, and even were able to observe us years after we got married. And still, God willing, you know, by His grace, not God willing, but by His grace, this May, end of May, it'll be 16 years since He brought us together. But the first couple years, one of the things, even for us, even for me, teaching God's word, walking in His calling, and then God brought her in. I'm like, I got to disciple you. I got to bring you up quickly. That's what I told her directly. I had to just lovingly spit it out straight, exhort her into the word of truth. I got to disciple you because you haven't been discipled. You may have learned God's word, but I have to disciple you. You need to teach you how to hear God's word, and you have to be a picture, because you're either going to help me to qualify to remain a pastor, or I get disqualified. And so right away, she became from a congregant to a pastor's wife. It's like, whoa. That's tough. But one of the things that's going to keep you together in marriage is knowing that it's God Almighty that brought you together. I had to lean on that the first couple of years, because you're going to have issues in your marriage. Married people, amen? You're going to have issues. And one of the things I had, I'm excruciatingly painful things, I had to cry out to God, literal physical tears. And we're talking like when we first got married too, the first couple of years. I'm not saying I was a saint or a sweetheart. No, I had a lot of issues, still do. And God used my loving, sweet, humble wife to at times just to rebuke and exhort me, but also He used her to help clean me up, still does. That's one of the beautiful things about marriage. But guess what I had to rely on? I knew it was the eternal God. El Shaddai, God Almighty, and God Almighty alone that brought us together. And He used God's word to confirm it. So confirm God's will through His word. Amen? If you can't, don't say it's God's will. Please, please. And then when you do have something you step out into called marriage, you know it's God's will. Now, because it's God's will and it has His blessing, then you can cry out to Him. Okay, so allow Him to confirm it. Amen? I'm telling you, I had to many times, even now still. It was really rough too at the start on my part. I think it was rough, and I was also rough with my wife. So I had to learn. God used me to, He used His daughter, my wife Susan, because remember, she was His daughter before she was ever my wife. He used her to reveal a lot of selfishness issues. And if you marry people, you know there's selfishness in your heart, right? When you get married, you realize, dang, I'm pretty selfish. Right? You newlywed couples, you realize, wow. And you got to cry out to God. So get to know God's will. Get to know His word. So that when you get married, cuando, when you get married, you'll be able to cry out to God and say, God, this is your marriage. If it's your... not God's marriage, lowercase wife, it's your marriage. You still have to cry out to Him, but you're not convinced, you're not confirmed it's His will. Then it's excruciatingly painful, so tough. And I want my life to matter for God and for you. And so therefore, because I knew also it was going to be public, I had to know it was God's will. Okay? And there's some here that saw us. It's not me. It's just the grace of God that brought us together and still keeps us together. And He'll do that in our marriages. Amen? All right, let's continue on. So God says here, quote, let each man have his own wife and let each woman have her own husband. Why? He says, because of sexual immorality. So remember, Corinth was a place that was known for having a ton of prostitutes. You could look this up. I grabbed this from Wikipedia in a simple public source, so you could too. This is something that we know about Corinth and its history. I'm showing this on the display here. The act of sacred prostitution. Look at that oxymoronic term, sacred prostitution, right? The act of sacred prostitution within the temple of Aphrodite in the city of Corinth was well known and well spread. Greek writer-philosopher Strabo comments, quote, "The temple of Aphrodite was so rich that it owned 1,000 temple slaves, courtesans, whom both men and women had dedicated to the goddess." Within the same work, Strabo compares Corinth to the city of Comana, confirming the belief that temple prostitution was a notable characteristic of Corinth. So this is the people, this is the church, that was the culture that Paul's writing to, addressing their question, answering their question. Really, it's probably a question something like this: should Christian men and women get married? And he's going on to say, yes, because of, verse 2, because of sexual immorality. So in this temple of Aphrodite, Corinth had what they considered sacred prostitutes. That sounds weird, doesn't it? It's an oxymoronic term. Sacred prostitutes, they shouldn't be in the same sentence. So because of this, in the Corinthian culture, they had the belief that it was okay to mix sacred worship with sex. They mixed a sacred worship with sex. To them, it wasn't sexual immorality, but to God it is. Amen? To God it is. So when the Corinthians got saved and now they come into the church, they now realize it's sin, and it's the Greek word used, porneia. Yes, pornography, sexual immorality, any kind of intimacy that's out of the marriage between one man and one woman is porneia. It's sin. And if that's any of you guys, confess and repent from that, like we all have, like I have. Continuing on, verse 3, "Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does." Okay. We won't comment on where some guys take that. Just stick with the word. Okay. It's not, the husband's not saying, okay, you go and work as a prostitute. Some people are like that, actually. And they call themselves Christians. He does not have that kind of authority. That's not the context of the text. "And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does." So Paul's now addressing sexual intimacy. And notice the context again. It's sad, but in today's woke culture, you and I must repent from this. But notice the context here is only within a marriage between a, quote, husband and a, quote, wife. Not two guys, which would be a picture of Christ and Christ, and not two girls, which is a picture of the church and the church. Picture of the church does not need Jesus. The picture is not anything else but a man and a woman. It's just a man and a woman in marriage. It's not just a man and just a woman. It's not just people dating. It's not people living together, playing house, mini marriage. It's sexual intimacy that was to be between a, quote, husband and a, quote, wife. So verse 3 and 4, this teaches the spouses in marriage, basically, don't hold back intimacy from one another. Okay, so if you want biblical marriage advice, this is where it is. 1 Corinthians 7. Now don't sit there and think, hey, come on, it says. You need to do that within the context of your own marriage. It's biblical. It's, as I would say, legal in God's eyes. Basically, the word for render here, it speaks of to give back. Give back, as in you're paying back what's owed to them. It says in verse 3, "Let the husband render." Give back. So when two get married, the two are joined together as one. That's only in marriage. Okay, it's not dating. It's not tribe before you buy, not mating around. Those are the devil's pictures. Two become one only biblically within the context of marriage. And there's a union. They're to give themselves to each other. So in a Christian marriage, the man and the woman submit to God and to God's word. And in doing so, they give the, quote, authority of their bodies to the spouse. Giving over the authority of your body to someone outside of the marriage between one man and a woman is sin in God's eyes. It's sin in God's eyes. I got to say it a third time, because in this woke culture, some of us need to repent hard from that. It's sin in God's eyes. Let's go on to read verse 5. We're going to have to close in a bit. Verse 5, "Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, I love how simple and practical God's word is. That you may, notice it says, give yourselves to fasting and prayer. And come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. So simple, so practical. All right, so the only reason why a husband and a wife should separate. Well, if we're going to separate, we've got irreconcilable differences. That's sin. That's sin. It's permitted because of what? Selfishness, pride. Is what the Bible goes on to say. It's not commanded. So the reason why a husband and a wife, in practical biblical advice, according to 1 Corinthians 7, why they should separate, it's not separate because I'm going to live my own lives, have my own checkbook, have my own accounts, live my life separately. It's only that you would, quote, give yourselves to fasting and prayer. What's the biblical reason that I should separate? Well, and sometimes the question is, how long should we separate for? Here's the answer. How long can you fast? Do you see that? It is kind of funny, isn't it? Very, very practical. Okay, so you need to know this for your life. You, the singles, when you get married, know this. The married couples, know this. As you're married now, oh, I think we need to live our own lives. I'll buy a house where you can stay there. I'll buy another house in Florida. It's nice down there. We'll stay there. No. You need to give yourselves to fasting and prayer. There's a spiritual reason. Okay? And cling to that, married couples. So the question, how long should we separate for? The answer is, how long can you fast for? And if the answer is, man, I can only fast for a day. That's how long you could be apart. Ta-da! God's word. I love it. It's so simple, right? But I read this book. He calls himself a Christian psychologist, and he calls this person says this. Throw it away. Read the Bible. If we would just read God's word, very simple, very practical. So if you could fast for a day, you can't fast more than 40 days, can you? We know that in practical reality. Doesn't work. And fasting means abstaining from food. Okay. How long can you not eat? Well, only up to 40 days. Think of that, 4 hours. Yeah, I fast from breakfast. By the way, that term break fast, that's what it means. You're breaking a fast. We call it breakfast. So that's how long you can both separate for. But what's the purpose, the motive, the intent? That you would, quote, give yourselves to fasting and prayer. And, well, we don't have too much time to go in depth. The verbiage here gives the indication that you're going to stop, you're going to cease from even work. You may have to call out. Why? That you can 100%, not, I'm going to go on Facebook, let me use that time to catch up. No. You would seek God. You're going to cease from labor, you would cease from working, and you would use that time that you would, quote, give yourselves to fasting and prayer. So it says here in verse 5, just with practical marriage advice, don't deprive intimacy for one another, except that you both consent. So if the other one's not into it, guess what? You're not both consenting. No bueno, right? You can't do it. That you would give yourselves to fasting and prayer. Well, the other one doesn't want to pray. Then don't do it. You can still pray, but don't sit there and separate. I'm going to live in separate places. No. And this word, again, for do not deprive, it means to defraud or rob. That's actually what it's saying. But we'll get to that later on. Okay, just hold that for later on. We can't discuss it now. Consent is the word symphonos. Symphonos. Think of phone, phonograph. Something audible, it's a sound. Symphonos means harmonious. It means agreeing. You would have to speak the same thing. You'd have to verbally be in agreement. It literally can mean, quote, sounding together. That's the word for consent. And this word for give yourselves, again, I can't go in depth, we don't have the time, to take a holiday. That's literally what it means, give yourselves. It means to take a holiday. Not take a holiday from your marriage. Okay? You need to clarify that. And not... Well, anyhow, to take a holiday, it could even mean to cease from labor. Okay. You're not taking a holiday from each other, but the implication is that both spouses would devote themselves wholly to, it actually says that, devote oneself wholly to God during that time. Holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y. It's not playing the field. Well, let me play the field. If you really love me, we'll come back together. That's what the world says. That's not the Bible. If you want divorce, divorce yourself from Satan. Amen? Divorce yourself from Satan's word. It's not playing the field. It's not dating and seeing other people, but only that you would be devoting yourself to fasting and prayer. So singles, take the time now to get to know God. Because if you have to execute this thing in 1 Corinthians 7, you're going to have to know how to hear from God, how to fast, not eat, so that you would devote wholly yourself to praying to Him. And while you're doing that, if you do, don't just pray, God, destroy her heart. God, destroy his heart. Get him. Pray that God would change who? Would change you. Okay? All right. Let's go. Get him, get him. And it says, for a time. So how long is for a time? As long as you can be entirely dedicated to, quote, fasting and prayer. I've never prayed more than 5 minutes. Ta-da! There's your answer. I've never stopped eating any meal. There's your answer. How long is for a time? It says for a time. All right, let's continue on. Verse 6, and then we close. But I say this as a concession, not as a commandment. So God's not commanding married couples to separate for a time. Look, we have to separate. I need my own space, babe. It's a concession. If a married couple abstains from sexual intimacy, quote, for a time, it's not God's commandment. That's what it says. It's not God's commandment. It's simply practical and spiritual advice. So if a married couple abstains from sexual intimacy, quote, for a time, it's only for a specific spiritual reason. What is that reason? That's between the couple. Okay. But obey God's word. We need to be doers of the word. Amen. And we wouldn't have the devastation in our woke society as it is. So if this is anybody, whether you're a future marriage or you're currently married, do this only if it's a concession, it's not a commandment of God, that you'd both agree to fast and pray and totally dedicate yourselves to God during that time, to seek God and God alone, and then come back together. Why? Because Satan's going to try to destroy your marriage. And how many of you married couples know that? Satan's going to try to destroy your marriage. You need to allow God to maybe repair your marriage. So we're going to close this time. I'm just going to close this with a word of prayer. Can we all stand here? I want to encourage you to keep coming in. Next time we'll discuss things like God's word and his advice for singles. There is a gift of singleness. It's not, let me destroy my life and now, okay, I got to be single. I met some people that are like that. I even thought that for myself. If you have a desire to be married, then God has that call on your life. That's just the reality. It's Him that placed it there. It's something holy. It's godly. But bring your heart before Him. Learn how to hear from Him. Learn His word. Apply His word. And then when God's doing something in your life, you'll know it's Him because you'll know how He speaks. You have trained yourself to learn the Good Shepherd's voice. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice." He also said, "My sheep know my voice." Get to know his voice. And he also mentions about his sheep. They do not know the voice of strangers. Stop listening to strange voices. We all need to stop that. Amen? Father in heaven, we ask for you to please train us to know your holy word. Help us, God. Help us with this simple yet practical, biblical marriage advice. Lord, help us as we go through this chapter. We know that you're searching our hearts. Help us to confess and repent from any things that are sin, things that are destroying our lives or we're allowing to come in. Help us, Lord, to keep ourselves pure. We know this thing that we call sexual intimacy, that it's only when you bring together one man and one woman for the sake of marriage. In that case, it's still pure in your eyes. It's legal, so to speak. But help us to repent from anything that's not your word of truth. And Lord, help us not to bring in any divorce, to allow any kind of divorce within our current marriages, but to divorce, so to speak, ourselves from the lies of Satan, the father of lies, and to run away from his ways, that we would repent, that we would run and flee sexual immorality as you teach us in your word, and we would come together and seek you. We confess our sins. We know that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we walk in the light as you are in the light, then we can have fellowship, koinonia, with one another. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Continue to cleanse us. Oh, cleanse us daily. Purify us for your will, your glory alone, for we ask and pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you all.